The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The big board's getting long, but I'm not sure what I'm going to pick.
All of us. Our Supreme Leader, Nuno, Bubba, Mike A., Pat, and myself have to nominate the best lawyer movie of all time. That'll be our homework. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can give us any nominations we forgot at 888-729-3776. Coming up in this hour, we'll talk about the harsh words Rex Ryan had for Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Amari Cooper. Words that Rex Ryan has now apologized for. Plus, we're going to break down the form of homework, of entertainment, that we did not choose to assign to everyone on the show, to everyone listening. But that doesn't mean we're going to be ignoring it. I've been curious. It's been tickling my fancy for quite some time. I've wanted to begin watching the WWE. And in a world with no sports, the WWE gives us our only outlet this weekend. WrestleMania 36 is on. But I need context. I need background. I need storylines. I need to know the characters. I need to know the drama. I need somebody to whet my appetite. And I have a writer for the Wrestling Observer, Figure Four Online, and a general wrestling expert, Brian Alvarez, on the phone lines. What's up, Brian?
What's going on?
So, you hear my sales pitch, man. I'm curious.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm curious, okay? I started with a podcast. It was a Business Wars podcast about the battle between the WWF and the WCW. It introduced me, and I had a little bit of working knowledge going into it, to the Montreal Screwjob. I got a little compounded interest there. I have, of course, like every kid, a wrestling background in the 80s when I was a kid. I watched the Saturday morning cartoons. I knew Macho Man Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan and all of those guys, and even knew some regional wrestling before that back in the days in Texas with the Von Erichs. But I've basically lost touch for over a decade, probably over two decades, and I'm curious again. So if I jump back in this weekend to WrestleMania 36, why should I?
Oh, my Lord. What a question. Well, I think you should jump back into it this weekend because it's the biggest show of the year, or at least that's the way they're billing it. I mean, obviously, because of the coronavirus, it's not going to be the biggest show of the year in terms of attendance or anything like that. There's going to be nobody there. But this is the big show. I mean, they've been building this show up for months now. Allegedly, it's got all of the biggest matches. I mean, it's going to be very different. I mean, if you haven't been watching it, but I mean, if you have, it's going to be the most unique WrestleMania there's ever been because no fans. They've been editing it like crazy for the last week. There's going to be certain matches that are very cinematographic, I guess would be the word. They're doing all sorts of different things. It's going to be very unique. I mean, if you like it, I mean, this is what you're going to get for a while. And if you don't like it, I mean, it's a unique show, and it's maybe something to think about getting back into once things open up again.
Brian Alvarez here on the Will Cain Show. I mentioned this earlier. One of the things that makes me somewhat more interested is I recognize a lot of the characters, meaning I'm a casual fan, casual observer. You know, of course, I'm in the world of sports, but I recognize the names. Undertaker, AJ Styles, Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair. I know these characters. The Miz. So I look at WrestleMania 36, and I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot of big-time star power. Is that the case? Is this uniquely big-time compared to other WrestleManias?
I don't know if I would say it's uniquely big time. I mean, the thing that they've been doing for the last several years, really, I mean, when you were a little kid, you know, WrestleMania was a 3-hour show. And mm-hmm. You had, I don't know, 8 matches or whatever. I guess sometimes more than that. But only the biggest matches were on WrestleMania. The last, you know, 5-10 years or so, the whole idea is we're going to try and get everybody on this WrestleMania show. And so the show this weekend is broken over 2 nights. There's going to be 8 matches on Saturday. There's 8 matches on Sunday, 16 matches. You know, some of them are one-on-one, but some of them are multi-person matches. So pretty much everybody who's a name that still works for WWE today, and even people like The Undertaker you see like once a year, I mean, they're all going to be there. So it's much bigger than a television show. It's bigger than your normal pay-per-view, which isn't going to have anywhere near 16 matches. So, yeah, you're going to get all of the biggest stars. And if you recognize the names, I mean, aside from Roman Reigns, who isn't on the show, I mean, pretty much all of the big names are going to be there.
Brian Alvarez here on the Will Cain Show. What are you most excited about? Like, what is the storyline or the fight that you are most excited about in this WrestleMania?
To me, the best thing that they have done is the Randy Orton Edge storyline. Edge broke his neck, I think it was like 8 years ago or something like that, 6, 7, 8 years ago, and he retired. And he was told he was never going to be able to wrestle again. And this is all legitimate. This is not a storyline. And over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years, new surgeries, new therapies, he got clearance to return. And so he returned at the Royal Rumble, and him and his old buddy Randy Orton did some stuff in the Rumble. And then the next night on Raw, Randy Orton turned on him and destroyed him with a chair and injured his neck, allegedly. And in the last 2 months, they've been doing interviews back and forth, some of the best interviews of either man's career. It's a grudge match. Edge's wife is involved. It's to me, by far the best thing on this WrestleMania. It's the match that feels most like a big-time WrestleMania match.
And obviously the thing missing, Brian, is going to be the fans in the stands. And whatever energy that provides, and we know the answer to that has got to be a lot of energy. I mean, we know the guys play to the crowd interacts, the crowd, it feeds off of each other. And the ratings for the shows leading up to this one have suggested it's not good for the entertainment product. The ratings have been down, I think, right? It's been a downturn lately. So does that mean they should think twice about putting on this WrestleMania?
Well, the thing is, the WrestleMania has already been taped. So, I mean, it's airing. And yeah, I mean, the first week of empty arena shows actually did good numbers because I think everybody was very curious about what it was going to look like. But since then, I mean, this past Monday, we had the lowest rated Raw of all time. And that goes back, the third hour of the show was the least watched hour dating back to, you know, the beginning of the show in 1993. So, I mean, these are very, very bad numbers, but they have no option. I mean, I was supposed to be at WrestleMania right now. I mean, 80,000 people, 60,000, 80,000 people in the crowd. That's why some of these matches are going to be unique matches. Like, there's a Boneyard match where The Undertaker is going to do a match with AJ Styles in, like, a graveyard. And there's going to be a Firefly Funhouse match where John Cena and Bray Wyatt are going to be wrestling I don't even know where. But they're doing different sort of matches like that, which, you know, you don't need a crowd because you're in a graveyard. So they're hoping that by using some, you know, cinematic editing and unique locations, you won't notice for 4 hours both nights that there's nobody there.
Oh, really? So are we talking about setting up a ring in a graveyard? Are we talking about whatever this Firefly match is, making it look like a traditional match just in an odd setting? Or are we talking about
for the Boneyard match? I mean, they're going to put the two guys in either a real or a fake cemetery, and they're like going to be brawling in the grass and hitting each other with tombstones and crazy stuff.
And that's why you say it's cinematic. It's really, they're filming a scene in a movie almost.
Basically, it's not going to be every match. Like, some of the matches are going to be in a ring in an empty building with no fans. But some of the matches, like, they're shooting them like this is a movie. This is The Undertaker versus AJ in a graveyard. And it's being shot and edited and all sorts of stuff like you would see in a film.
Outside of the Edge's return from these, like you said, real-life circumstances, these real-life surgeries and that storyline, if I go into this, like, what is the biggest baked-in storyline that I need to be aware of going in? Like, because obviously I'm dropping into a movie more than three-quarters of a way through the movie, right? So is it something involving John Cena? Like, what's the upset? What's the character arc? What's the rivalry that I've got to, like, if I'm jumping in, I got to have some background on?
Honestly, for most of them, you don't need that much of a background. I mean, the Edge Randy Orton one, you need that background. The Brock Lesnar Drew McIntyre championship match, I mean, you know, you could use some background there. Drew McIntyre eliminated Brock from the Royal Rumble, and he's going for the championship. It's his first time ever having a championship match at a WrestleMania. I mean, that's really like the depth of the storylines here, because a lot of this stuff fell together at the last minute. People had to pull out. There was supposed to be a Goldberg-Roman Reigns match, but Roman Reigns pulled out at the last minute, so Now Goldberg's going to be facing Braun Strowman, so there's no storyline there. They just threw the thing together. So I think that you can safely watch the show without knowing a lot of the backstories, because they will always do a video package before the match explaining to you why this match is happening and what led to it.
All right. Brian Alvarez, he wrote The Death of WCW and 100 Things WWE Fans Should Know Before and Do, Know and Do Before They Die. Brian, I have more curiosities. Let's see what it comes, what it looks like coming out of this weekend. But I think I'm in. I think I'm going to try it, man. And I appreciate you setting me up for it.
I think you should. I think you should try it. And I would love to know what you thought.
Okay, I will. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate your time.
Yep, thanks so much.
This Week in Preview is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today. Pat, how long am I in for? It's a Saturday and Sunday night affair. How many hours each night?
Probably about 3 hours for each.
Is it like a football game, like I'm going to be glued to my chair for 3 hours, or you kind of come and go?
No,
as
you can kind of come and go. You don't necessarily have to watch every match. If you miss one, you know, it is what it is, but yeah, you can kind of come and go as you please.
All right. WrestleMania 36. Let's do it. All right. Greatest lawyer movies of all time and Rex Ryan's harsh words for Amari Cooper. It's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
One of the things I'm excited about that we're doing here on The Will Cain Show, and I talked to you about it yesterday, but I'm pretty pumped. Doing some long interviews. I like flexing my curiosity muscle, talking to folks. We did it with a bank robber. We had a long conversation with Wade Phillips, longtime head coach and defensive coordinator in the NFL. That one's up in our pod feed right now. You can go check it out. And last night I sat down with Kevin Durant's manager, Rich Kleiman. And I'll tell you, it was surprising. Nuno, you were there for it. I think you can speak to this. I don't know that either of us, neither me nor Rich, went into that expecting from each other what we ended up getting. Isn't that fair?
I definitely think, definitely believe that. There was some great banter early on, even when, like, you know, we started recording, but you weren't into the conversation. There was some back and forth. And I think you were intrigued by him, and, like, he ended up being intrigued by you, which worked.
Yeah, he came in with some preconceived notions, which is fine because he's seen me on First Take and he's only ever seen me in certain lights. And then I know him as Kevin Durant's manager, and at times I've probably said some harsh things about Kevin Durant. But I think we're going to put this one up on Monday. Make sure you're checking the Will Cain Show podcast feed, because I think you'll dig some of these conversations. And Rich and I get into some interesting stuff about life and business. And I've got a chunk I'm going to play for you in just a moment where I actually think – Rich makes a little bit of news. But let's go ahead and finish off our big board. We're not going to nominate our best lawyer movies of all time just yet, because we got to finish off our big board. And I am of the belief, even though we have a big list, we have left off the most famous lawyer movie of all time. Now, none of the guys, Nuno, Pat, Mike A., or Bubba, can see how that's possibly true. But I'll tell you what it is if nobody else does in just a moment. Here's what we have. A Few Good Men, My Cousin Vinny, The Verdict, Lincoln Lawyer, A Time to Kill, The Firm, The Rainmaker, and The Client, Michael Clayton, Runaway Jury, Pat said Legally Blonde, Liar Liar, Pat said Aaron Brockovich, Philadelphia, The Devil's Advocate, and Justice for All.
And but, you're missing a pretty significant one there, buddy, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, yeah, and To Kill a Mockingbird. Thank you. Yeah, that's it. Okay, what do we? What else do we miss? Matt from Hollywood, what's up, man?
What is up, Will Cain? How are you, my friend?
I'm good.
Awesome. Well, you guys are missing a big one. I think it's one of Adam Sandler's greatest movies, Big Daddy is full of lawyers. There's an awesome courtroom scene. I don't know why you guys have not thought of that one yet.
Okay, Matt, Big Daddy's on the big board. Logan from Illinois, what's up, Logan?
Hey, Matt. Hey, Will, how you doing, bud?
Good.
Good. Hey, I really enjoy your show. One of the more underrated movies, lawyer movies, that I've seen in the past few years was Fracture with Ryan Gosling and Anthony Hopkins.
Well, I get that one mixed up because Gosling was in the Lincoln Lawyer as well. So Fracture, was he a bad guy in that one too? Or what was that
one? No, Gosling was the lawyer in that one, young lawyer. Anthony Hopkins was the bad guy, murdered his wife, and kind of goes from there. But it's a pretty good movie. I had not seen it before, but I guess it's on Netflix right now.
And I just got confused. Gosling's in Fracture. I was thinking of Ryan Phillippe, who's in Lincoln Lawyer. All right, man, I appreciate it. I'm a big fan of Gosling. Yeah, so maybe I need to go back. If somebody picks Fracture, I won't be upset about that. Ryan from Georgia. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Will. Hey, Will. What's going on? I'm actually a practicing attorney in the great state of Georgia. I never get the call, so listen to you live. I got out of the office early. So I want to offer up The Judge, a fairly recent movie with Robert Downey Jr., and then also Primal Fear with Richard Gere. And I have a couple extra credits that I don't necessarily consider legal dramas, but extra credits for you guys to watch The Paper Chase. It's a movie about a first year of law school and a Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, a film set here in Georgia with some legal procedure drama in it.
Seen them all. That's really good, Ryan. Thank you. I watched it's almost like required my first year of law school. We had to watch Paper Chase. Everybody did. One more, Ryan from Texas. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Will. Hey, Will. Big fan of the show. I got Law Abiding Citizen. I don't know if you'd really say that's a lawyer movie, but it's a great movie. And the other is Murder in the First.
Murder in the First. Yes, both of those are on the list. I see that. Thank you, man. Calls keep coming in, so let's do one more. Randy from Illinois.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
I would suggest Witness for the Prosecution, the original from the 50s, with Charles Laughton, Tyrone Power, and Marlene Dietrich.
All right. Witness for the Prosecution, I appreciate it. Okay, after all that, I think I thought we need to include The Judge. One of our Ryans definitely said to check out The Judge. That's Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Duvall. Anything Robert Duvall's in. I mean, he's Gus. I'm in on him. But after it's all said and done, Pat, Mike, A, Bubba, Nuno, I think nobody said what I think is probably, I'm not saying I'm going to nominate it, but I think it is probably regarded as the greatest legal movie of all time, legal drama of all time.
Is it Legally Blonde 2?
It's a good guess, Pat. It's a good guess. No, it's 12 Angry Men. Nothing? None of you guys? 12 Angry Men? The story of a jury of a trial? In the jury room? Gosh.
Yeah.
You guys are terrible.
1957, huh?
All right, the big board is set. We'll each pick our favorite legal movie of all time. That'll be the homework. We'll see who wins on Monday. We're going to pick the movies coming up. But first, I told you I talked to Rich Kleiman, Kevin Durant's manager, last night. We're going to put out the podcast on Monday. But here's a little bit of news. I asked him, would Kevin Durant be coming back if the season's delayed and he recuperates from his Achilles injury? Could we expect to see Kevin Durant back in an abbreviated season? Listen to what he said.
It's hard for me to imagine that an NBA season could return when you hear the numbers of casualties predicted, when you hear the numbers of people that will be inflicted by this, and to think that these guys can just go. You know, and I do understand that all of us are working within these conditions, for sure, but we're not working within these conditions by saying we have to quarantine before, get isolated into a certain place, perform in front of no fans, maybe leave our families to do so, work in a condensed season after taking potentially a month or 2 months off. And then if you restart the season in December or November after that, if that ends up being the case, God forbid someone in this condensed season comes back and gets hurt. And listen, this may be totally met with, disagreement because is a lot of like, well, woe is me to these guys. They're getting paid, and Kevin got 90% of his money. Putting all that aside, and I know that is stuff that's real to people, right? But what I'm saying is, how does that happen? Maybe some things are just not salvageable. You know, in these lockout seasons, when the lockout ends, they don't go, okay, well, let's add another 32 games on the other end of it. The reality is like the NBA and the NHL happen to have the end of their seasons occur in the middle of this. And the NFL and baseball can probably start later and push back training camps and OTAs. But for the NBA, it's like, I don't know. Like, maybe it's just unsalvageable. And I get it. There'll have to be something to be figured out from the financial standpoint. And I'd love to be able to have a voice in that because I understand it's real. But what I do know is that maybe this just can't be fixed.
It's Kevin Durant's manager and business partner, Rich Kleiman, on a podcast with me, which we'll put out early next week, saying he doesn't expect the NBA, nor think it should, come back. All right, we'll nominate the best lawyer moves of all time. Plus, you got to hear what Rex Ryan had to say about Amari Cooper. He said it, and now he's apologized for it. That's next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It's almost quitting time. That means it's almost happy hour. That means the weekend starts. We do our homework, watch movies, make a cocktail. It's Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. What you drinking tonight, fellas? What you making for your wind down? Pat, you're probably going to go with some kind of Jameson, right? Is that what you, that's what you like to do? It defies the stereotype. Everybody would have guessed you had like a fruity drink, but you picked a probably like a Jameson, right?
No comment, thanks.
Oh, really? Bubba, Dark and Stormy?
I haven't had a Dark and Stormy in a while, so that's not a bad idea. It is about time we get a little sophisticated.
Yeah, that's your sophisticated drink. Mike A, Coors Light?
No, it's my kid's first birthday. I'm on my third bourbon right now, so let's go ahead and do this.
Nuno, some Portuguese brandy.
No, maybe tomorrow. Maybe a little some wine.
Mm. I think I'm going to go with some ranch water. I'm going to get a little soda, a little tequila, and fill her up. What's the best lawyer movie of all time? Or better yet, we need to reframe this because it's not necessarily the best. What happens is sometimes the five of us pick a movie, and I have to say there's been probably a couple occasions where we didn't pick what everyone else would have voted as the best of all time. What we're doing is picking our favorite. Is that fair, don't you think? And so the question then becomes, whose favorite's the best?
I'm good with that.
Yeah, you defied it last week by picking Saving Private Ryan. Because
but that's
you
also my favorite.
I think you were trying to win. That's what
I'm not entirely sure what we've been doing, so we should get some clarification.
I think it's whose favorite is the best. And this week it's whose favorite lawyer movie is the best. The big board is set. There's too many for me to mention. At this point, I truly think we haven't left anything off. So if you're wondering why didn't somebody pick this movie, it's not because we forgot about it. It's not because it wasn't on the big board, the brainstorming session. It's because it wasn't one of the guys on this show's favorite. So let's go ahead and start the nomination. This will be our homework. Five lawyer movies. We come back on Monday after watching who wins, whose favorite lawyer movie was the best. Just a reminder where we are on the scoreboard. One victory for me, one for Mike A. Nah, this is wrong. Nah.
One victory for me, a half a victory for Will.
I won. I don't even know what you
put to the people. I would have won. Everyone knows.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I would have won, but it's fine.
No,
stop
I don't think you would have. One victory each for me and Mike A. So who wins now for best lawyer movie? Well, we got to pick them first. All right. I think whoever goes first has an advantage on this one. So I'll go first.
Wait, shouldn't Bubba go first because he lost? That's how we did it last week.
Oh, we're doing a socialist thing here? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Bubba. Weakest go first. Go ahead, Bubba. What are you picking for your favorite lawyer movie?
All right. Well, back to the old films, huh?
Google's lawyer movies?
Yeah, that's what I've been doing it all day. You know, when I try and get cute, I get into trouble. When I pick movies I really actually like and I've watched numerous times, I do well. So I'm going to go that route. I'm going to go with A Few Good Men.
Yeah, that's the advantage of having the first pick. I think you might have just won.
It is a legit movie that I actually like and I've seen numerous times, so I'm going with it.
I think you're probably going to win because of that. I think there was a real distinct advantage in picking first. Who got – it was
– you got second.
Second place or second to last?
Second to last.
I got second to last, so I
don't think
next.
We ever actually figured out who did, because then I would say Pat got second to last.
No, it doesn't matter. Go ahead, Will.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. I don't know who put you in charge, but I'll accept it for now. Now that A Few Good Men is off the board, it really is – what would you like to watch? I'm going to lose. If I pick Michael Clayton, I'll lose. I know it. The only way to win this.
Stop trying to win. Stop trying to take my strategy.
I know. Stop trying to win. Devil's Advocate. My Cousin Vinny, maybe.
Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde.
A Time to Kill. Oh, man. I am going to pick. I'm going to pick Devil's Advocate. I think I'd like to rewatch it. That's what I'm going to do.
You're killing me.
Yeah, that's what you wanted?
That I was leaning towards that, yes. It's tough.
All right. You did not win. Go ahead, Nuno.
So I'm – it is real tough right now because I – you know, possibly The People versus Larry Flint.
Why was that funny?
Let's go The Lincoln Lawyer.
That's a good one. I think that's a good
one. I thought
one.
Will was going to take it because he wanted to say lawyer.
Lincoln Lawyer? What do you say? Lawyer? What was it?
Yeah. Lawyer.
What do I say?
Liar.
All right, Pat, what do you pick?
To Kill a Mockingbird.
I knew it.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best law movie of all time.
Okay. We'll see about that. And then finally, last week's winner in Best War Movie, Mike A., with Saving Private Ryan. You get last pick. What do you take?
So,
by the way, Mike, I want to know what you're narrowing it down to, because I think you've got to take – it's got to be A Time to Kill, The Judge, My Cousin Vinny. It's probably one of those three.
I am going to pick one of those three. The other one that I like personally, just I love Murder in the First. I don't think you guys have seen it, so – I was going to pick that one to make you watch it, but in the end, I'm going to go with one of those three, and I'm looking at the list. I'm going Devil's Advocate. You got The Devil, Lincoln Lawyer's About Rape, To Kill a Mockingbird, Few Good Men. Let's lighten things up. I'm going My Cousin Vinny.
You might win with that. That might be the best challenger to Bubba. That's my bet. It comes down to YouTube. All right, there you go. There's our homework. It's A Few Good Men, My Cousin Vinny, Lincoln Lawyer, Devil's Advocate, and To Kill a Mockingbird. Pat's 3 for 3. No, 2 for 3. Two old movies and then Fast Five. There you go. The Will Kane Show is presented by AutoZone. Get in the zone. Brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. You got to hear the rough words, the tough words that Rex Ryan had for Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Amari Cooper and that he's since apologized for. That's coming up on the Will Kane Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers. Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We got a big movie weekend ahead of us, Best Lawyer Movies. We got WrestleMania 36. We got a weekend. It's the Will Kane Show on ESPN Radio. Things to bring us together. Things to do. Things to talk about come Monday. Rex Ryan gave us something to talk about this morning. Former NFL head coach and current ESPN analyst was on Get Up. And they were talking about Amari Cooper's new contract. Why? Amari Cooper signed that contract weeks ago. To remain with the Dallas Cowboys, the wide receiver signed a deal for $100 million, $20 million a year, and roughly $60 million guaranteed. But an anonymous NFL exec said that Amari was overpaid, that he's not a difference maker, that he's not somebody you have to game plan for or scheme for, and he's not somebody that always shows up. And Dan Orlovsky suggested that Amari Cooper was overpaid. And then they threw it to Rex Ryan, and he said this.
I wouldn't have paid this guy. To me, this is the biggest disappearing act in the National Football League. He doesn't show up on the road. He doesn't show up against, when the competition's good, when he's against the top corners, that guy disappears. And to me, he reminds me, it's only one time that I can remember in recent memory on elite receivers and disappearing acts like Amari Cooper. That was the kid that the Raiders had a few years ago. Oh, that's right. That was Amari Cooper. This is who he is. And Dan, he doesn't love football. Hell with it. He stops his routes. He does all this. I wouldn't have paid this turd.
Ooh, called him a turd. All right, let's set that aside for a moment. Trust me, we'll get back to it. Amari Cooper is without a doubt a wide receiver one. He is an amazing route runner. If you can watch a Cowboys game or see clips anytime you can see, he absolutely can just lose a defensive back. And he's been a difference maker. He was a difference maker. He changed Dak Prescott's season. And honestly, for anybody that had their eyes open, the perception of Dak Prescott. Amari Cooper is one of the best wide receivers in the league. That's the truth. It's also somewhat true that he didn't show up in every single game. And there were some pivotal games where Amari Cooper was not there for whatever reason. Now, many in Dallas suspect he was fighting an injury all season long. And when he wasn't in the game, towards the end of the season in pivotal moments, it had more to do with injuries and Jason Garrett than anything to do with Amari Cooper's desire or loving football, as you heard from Rex Ryan. No, no, no. I think they're wrong. He's not overpaid. Yes, there were times when he did not show up when he should have, but he's not overpaid. And for that matter, while we're at it, I tell you, I like all these guys. I'm telling you, I love my boy Dan Orlovsky. I like Rex. I had a tequila with Rex down in Miami for the Super Bowl. I met him a few times. That was one time we got to sit and talk. He's earnest. Is that a good word? You know what I mean? I like that. He's earnest. He's authentic. He's real. When you get there, sit there talking to Rex, you don't get the feeling like this is somebody that's BSing you, somebody that's putting it on. Is somebody shooting you straight? We talked about Baker, his relationship with Baker Mayfield, all that stuff. That's really my only prism in life. I've never said, oh, I've got to be around people I agree with. That's the sickness that infects society, and particularly in the media. Only be around, only have people on who agree with you. I don't care about that. I love having people around me that I disagree with. As long as you're real, authentic. Rex is real. He's also wrong. He's wrong about Amari. And I wonder about this. Rex, I like. Dan, I like. Morning on ESPN would make you think that Jason Garrett should have been coach of the year. I mean, I don't get it, right? Dak's overrated. He's not as good as Carson Wentz. He's decidedly average. Amari's overpaid. He doesn't love football. I mean, I don't understand. How did the Cowboys end up with the number one offense in the NFL? Number two passing offense. Number five scoring offense. Number nine in giveaways. I believe it was number five. In third down conversions. How did they end up with that, with an average quarterback and a quitter for a wide receiver? How did that happen? Jason Garrett must have been a magician. Jason Garrett should have been coach of the year, clearly, right? That's the math. I have to add it up. Do we have that, Nuno? Is there a Dan Orlovsky, Jason Garrett was coach of the year take? Did Rex Ryan believe that the Ginger Clapper was the best coach in the league? Because you got it. My math may be wrong, but if you've got average everywhere, but you're exceptional in your output, that must be a coaching genius. I don't know. Keep looking. See if you can find that clip. I mean, I just think they're wrong. I love the guys, but I'm not just saying that in the whole, like, BS, you know, talks radio show host guy. I like those guys a lot. But that's not going to stop me from saying when they're wrong. And Rex was decidedly wrong in calling Amari a turd. And he's gotten a lot of hell for it today. Damian Woody, Marcus Spears, writers all over sports said, don't do that. You can't say that. A, it's not true. Amari Cooper's a good dude. Great. Locker room guy, hard worker. It's just wrong. It's just wrong characterization. And it's probably not how you want to go about analyzing folks by calling them turds. And I think Rex realized it. Because then he went on Sports a little bit later and he apologized. Listen.
I can't believe I said that, used that word. Obviously, it was a poor choice by me to say what I said about Amari. And anybody knows me. Quite honestly, I think the world of every player and have a great deal of respect for every single player in the National Football League, including Amari Cooper. Now, with that being said, I think the Cowboys overspent for Amari Cooper. And the reason for it is I don't doubt that this is an elite player. He has those traits. But an elite receiver to me shows up on the road. He shows up against great corners, and he shows up in crunch time. And those are three things that Amari Cooper has not done so far in his career.
is Rex Ryan apologizing for calling Amari Cooper a turd. So good on him. Good on Rex for apologizing for that. He still thinks he's right. That's okay. Yeah, you can think you're right. You can still think that your conclusion is something but I think he was wrong on both accounts. But I think good on him for apologizing for using, getting out over skis a little bit. We've all done it. Done in private, done in public. Got out over skis a little bit using his language. What do you got there, Nuno? What are you saying to me?
No, I was going to say he sounds like someone who knows that, like, hey, you know what? I went too far, right? Like, because we've all, as you were saying, we've all done it. And then you kind of, your tone changes after being like, yeah, you know what? I believe what I said, but I misspoke. And as someone who misspeaks constantly, I know that feeling. And it's kind of just like.
Do you?
I mean, you know, what about you? Like, yes. You keep yes. coming at me constantly, and you screw up more words than. Almost me.
Yeah, thank you. Almost you. I think a couple of things. I think three things, okay? How about this? I think, number one, Rex is a player coach. Like, I think he regretted that because that's who he is. I mean, I think he's truly, like, in his heart, who he is a real person, is he's a player's coach. He loves players. He wants to be an advocate for players. I think that's his default, and he wants to, you know, I've seen him be emotional about it. I've seen Randy Moss say, I would have played for you in a heartbeat, for the way he is about the people that are with him, assistant coaches and coaches. I think that's who he is. I think it's his bearing. Number two, I think Rex is pretty unfiltered, and I like that about him. I think he's going to tell you what he thinks, and especially when he sort of gave up the idea he was going to return to the NFL and go back to coaching. That's when everybody gets the truth filter in full. You know, you don't get the full if they're still looking for a job, but if they're not, then you start getting the truth. And I think Rex is somebody that gives you and wants to give you and probably in private would give you and now in public does give you the unfiltered truth. And then I think number three, I think television, truthfully, I think this job, I think doing this can elicit people into running to the extreme, to leaning over your skis, to saying things in your mind, it doesn't say inflammatory, but in entertaining, in clear, in black and white, in absolutely certain terms, it encourages you to speak in that manner. And I think the more you do it, you realize that your opinions themselves are strong enough to stand on their own. You don't have to light them on fire to make them more known, noticed, resonate, maybe not so much talked about, but I think that's the three things that got him where he was. But you know what? Good on him for apologizing. He's still wrong, but good on him for it. All right, so we have five lawyer movies. That's a lot. Got to get after it. It's A Few Good Men, The Devil's Advocate, Lincoln Lawyer, To Kill a Mockingbird, and My Cousin Vinny.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.